British Prime Minister Tony Blair is also facing tough questions about intelligence claims leading up to the war on Iraq. In a news conference today, Blair declined to answer questions about the apparent suicide of a top weapons scientist. David Kelly's death has thrown Blair's government into its biggest crisis and into a bitter fight with the BBC over accusations that the government exaggerated the case for war. As NPR's Nick Spicer reports from London, the public broadcaster appears to be winning.
On Saturday, Tony Blair will become the longest-serving post-war Labour Prime Minister. But that might not be why he urged reporters to focus on his domestic record after 6 years in office. Their questions were largely about weapons of mass destruction and their notable absence in Iraq. Tony Blair stood by the intelligence his government received before the war and presented to the public. But the latest polls suggest Britons aren't buying that line. More and more think he should resign, and 40% don't believe him on weapons.
I accept there is an issue that we have to confront. First of all, people need to know that what we did in Iraq was right and justified, and that's a case that we have to not just assert, but prove over time.
The Prime Minister suggested, however, Iraq's alleged weapons weren't a make-or-break issue with voters.
The public in the end will judge us on the economy, the health service, schools, crime.
When pressed by reporters, Blair said voters with doubts about the reasons for war should wait for the final conclusions of weapons inspectors currently in Iraq. Blair answered that people should also wait for the report when asked questions about the death of Dr. David Kelly. The British leader ordered a judicial inquiry into his apparent suicide after the body of Britain's top expert in chemical and biological weapons was found near his home 11 days ago. Kelly was at the center of a fight between the BBC and the government over a report by the broadcaster alleging Blair had overstated the case for war. The report was based on a journalist's discussion with Dr. Kelly. The scientist informed his bosses at the Ministry of Defense of the discussion, but officials there leaked his name to the press when they thought it would disprove the BBC story. Today, Blair seemed to stand by that move.
And all we ever wanted was an incorrect story corrected.
But most Britons disapprove of the government's leaking Kelly's name, says the media critic at the Daily Telegraph newspaper. Tom Leonard says the Kelly suicide may mark the end of what he calls the spin doctoring which characterized Blair's first years in office. And he says the fight between the BBC and the Blair government is one the government is losing.
Difficult to see in any way how they've gained as a result of this. I think the BBC's possibly gained in the sense that it always used to have a reputation as being, the nickname was the Blair Broadcasting Corporation. So in some senses this row has allowed them to portray themselves as a rather more independent organization.
The inquiry is supposed to determine the cause of Dr. Kelly's death. It's not clear what he told a BBC reporter who broadcast the first story, but a second BBC journalist recorded an interview with him on the same subject of Iraq's alleged weapons, and she has given the recording to the presiding judge. Critic Leonard suggests the issues raised by the inquiry may echo across the Atlantic.
Were we given the wrong reasons for going to war? Now, if his inquiry manages to report on that issue and suggests that is correct, that obviously surely has ramifications over in the United States, and people will be saying, well, we led to war under false pretenses as well.
The head of the BBC says there may be ramifications for his organization, too. On Sunday, he accused government officials of discreetly threatening the independence of the publicly funded broadcaster. A government minister countered by saying he was inflaming the situation, but until the report comes out, the situation may prove hard to extinguish. Nick Spicer, NPR News, London.